Here we go. Proverbs 31. And I know we've been studying growth and growing in the Lord and maturing, I guess. And even though, you know, this is Mother's Day and we wanted to read some scripture dealing particularly with women, it's still part of the same. You know, we're still growing in the Lord and studying His Word. And we always go back and look at the pattern and, you know, so often, you know, sometimes the scripture in reference to a mirror, you know, when we look into the mirror and see. And so when we look at these patterns that the scripture has laid out for us, God's pattern for women in particular. And although I do believe, and it's not just what I believe is what the scripture teaches, that, you know, the aged women should teach the younger, so that should definitely be going on, and it can be in a official setting as such, you know, if you're doing it even as a teaching, but even more so is that, and I think Peggy made mention of it several times downstairs. It's just in our life, you know. So often it's those times that we really learn, you know, that we're looking at the life of someone else, and so even though you say, well, I don't teach, I can't speak very well, I don't speak too good, you know, and you may not even be comfortable in front of a crowd, you can still teach. And that is our desire, you know, for us as the church, as the body, that we prepare everyone to teach. That's what our calling is, just to study the Word of God together, to grow together. And it's not just, as we've said since we've started this, it's not just to bring things inside of us and make us better people, although it does have that effect, doesn't it? It's to bless our life. The principles of God's words bless our life as individuals. But even outside of that, there's something in the scripture that is so prevalent throughout all. And it's just this very thing, that our lives are to touch other people. Amen. It's that if there's one thing about the law of Christ, this law of liberty that we talked about, we were studying it Wednesday night, that I guess it was, who we say it was, James or John? John talked, was it John? James, talking about the law of liberty. You know, it's this, that our lives affect other people, that we reach out to those around us. And as we were singing one of the worship songs this morning, it talked about the everlasting God, and it talked about how that He gives strength to the weak, that He provides to those who can't provide for themselves. And as we were singing that, I thought to myself, you know, there's no greater calling, or there's no place where we are even more demonstrating the love of Christ than when we are reaching out to someone that cannot repay. When we are doing for someone that can't do for us, or maybe even do for themselves, and there's nothing that we can do to get back. Amen. That's when we really are demonstrating the love of God. And so what we want to do this morning, as we look at this Proverbs 31, and as we've already read it, and we see this model that the scripture gives of the woman, and if you've listened to the radio, listened to Bible studies at any point, and I think maybe even Peggy talked about earlier about the Proverbs 31 woman. Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that phrase at some point. There's a lot of hands up there. A lot of us have heard that. The Proverbs 31 woman. And I'm not trying to get off on a negative foot this morning, but in our day, how many knows that we need to know our roles? Amen. We need to know what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman. I don't know that there was this grand plan that was put together to say, let us destroy the family and its unit and everything that it involves. But if there wasn't, they're doing a really fine job of it just by what they're teaching in the world today. But there is a standard that the Word of God holds up against the enemy. I mean, there is a standard that, and here's the thing about it, and this is what gives me strength to know today, and that is that God's Word stands sure. Men's and the world's philosophies, they come and they go, they repeat. There's really nothing new. It all just is packaged up and made to look different. But the world's philosophies destroys nations. It brings kingdoms down. But there is one kingdom that the scripture teaches is an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And that is the kingdom of our God. Now, you and I, as believers, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, and you're living in a different realm. You can, I know I've said it before, but I want us to get a hold of this picture that you can be on your job, working beside someone, elbow to elbow, they be in one realm and you be in another. Right. Amen. That you can be working beside, walking even down the aisles at Walmart, and beside someone, and you look at them, and they can be in another realm, and you can be in the kingdom of God. You dwell in a different place. You're not waiting for somewhere down the road where God is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He has been in your life. Amen. And that you are testifying to that very fact that God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, there's none above you. So in today's ideas of what a man is and what a woman is, even though the world may try to blur the lines, and I'll even go beyond that, it's not even blurring the lines as it is just simply trying to erase them completely. Amen. That philosophy will bring about destruction. It's just like anything else. When you go against the Word of God, it may take you a certain way for so long, and you think you're being successful at it, and there is nothing, no negative impact of it whatsoever. Let me tell you this morning, without a doubt, with positive, those things that are most surely believed among us, that whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap, that the Word of God stands sure, and that if you sow iniquity, you're going to reap what you sow. Amen. You're going to reap the whirlwind, the Bible tells us. So we want to sow good seed in our lives, and it's up to us to hold up a standard. The world, if I can borrow from a phrase, I think it was Martin Luther that said it this way when they were so concerned about, giving the Word of God into the normal everyday language of man, they were so concerned that they would open up a floodgate of iniquity. And Martin Luther said it this way, he said, if it opens up a floodgate of iniquity, let it be. The world needs to know what the Word of God says, what saith the Word of God. And so it's so important that we do that. But Sister Peggy read it over here in Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll just start with verse number 10 there, because it asks a very potent question. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find this? It's almost even to the point where is it? Where can it be found? Now, just so I can, before I get into this too far and I lose you, just because it seems like I'm coming so hard against the women, realize that the scripture also says over in Proverbs 20. Let's just turn there just for introduction here. Verse 20, or Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it? So the scripture here in Solomon in his writing in the Proverbs is saying we need to find virtuous women, we need to find faithful men. So if you allow me to do this morning, let us put the faithful men just kind of up on the shelf, and we'll deal with that in a few weeks. Can we do that? Is that okay? It's going to have to be, because that's what you're getting this morning. But when we talk about the men, we'll save that. Actually, I think we're going to be gone on Father's Day, but I promise you, if the Lord will allow it, that I will get to that either before or after we leave for Father's Day when we talk about the men. But particularly the women this morning, we're talking about finding, who can find it? It says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above all rubies. Her price is far. Bill, I'm going to move this mic and see if that, where are you? Is that going to help me? Because that thing's still, I put a brand new battery in this thing. It's still, it works good. We practice before church. I put it in, I walk around, I talk, and it's just working great. And I get up here and zoom, get all that nasty sound. So I'm going to try maybe that microphone. I don't know. But we'll get that out of the way. But who can find it? Her price, it says, for her price is far above rubies. Now, I had to take a class one time in college. It was called economics. And I can't say I particularly enjoyed it. Didn't care a whole lot for it. It was somewhat difficult. I did learn a little bit about economics, not a whole lot. But what I did learn was this. That's not probably what I'm called to do. And so, because it was when you start number crunching, there's people that would enjoy that. I was not one of them. But I do remember one particular phrase, and when I say it, it's going to be very familiar to all of us, and it's the phrase of supply and demand. And what is it about supply and demand? That we can see it at the gas pump. Every time we hear about some event happening somewhere across the pond, as Bill put it, or even, you know, here in our country, every time something happens and there can be any reduction in production of oil, what immediately happens? The gas prices go up the next day, or even by that afternoon or that evening. Seems like it takes a whole lot longer for them to come back down. But anyway, they do. They go up real fast, and they stay up there for a while. Well, it's because of this, because when something is rare, when the demand outweighs the supply, the prices are increased. That's it, I'm done. The prices increase. The price goes up when the demand outweighs the supply. Well, here we have this supply and demand working in Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman because her price is far above rubies? It's far above anything, far above any jewel that you can find. When you find a virtuous woman, it's almost like to the point where she's rare. There's a high demand, but not as many as can be found. Now, just in starting, look back in verse number 1 of Proverbs 31. It talks about this, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy. Amen. I am ringing like crazy up here. I got all kind of reverb happening. But it says the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this King Lemuel, it talks about a prophecy. The word prophecy there can also be interpreted a burden or an utterance, something said. So this mother has something on her heart that she wants to share with King Lemuel. Now, who this King Lemuel is, I don't really know. I actually did try to do a reference on him particularly throughout all the other scripture, and there's no name mentioned. Some of the references even made, I guess they brought out that this could even be referencing Solomon, because it means belonging to God. Or this king belonging to God. So maybe some of them saying it might not even necessarily be a name. I don't know. I guess that's possible. Makes sense to me. But this burden that was upon his mother, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, this burden. And it was this. It starts off saying, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Now, when Solomon here, when his writings in Proverbs, he does a lot of talking about women. Imagine that. He that had how many wives? He had a lot. I don't know if he understand women any better than anybody else would. I think it was Adrian Rogers I heard say one time, if you hear a man say he understands women, he'll lie about anything. I don't know if that's true, but Solomon here, he does go through. And he talks about women throughout this book. He talks about two types. The one type, I'll just read a couple verses here so you can get it, but it's all through his book. One of them's over here in Proverbs 2. I'll just kind of go through these quickly. I won't hold you too long this morning because I know we've had a lot going on. Proverbs 2 and 16 says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her word." So we've got this strange woman, Proverbs 5 and 3. "For the lips of a strange woman drops as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." So we've got this talk about this strange woman down in verse 20. "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" 6 and 24, it says this, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a strange woman." Verse 26, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." We could go several other places. I'll just look at one more here, maybe in Proverbs 9 and 13. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." So here, all throughout this book, over and over again, these words, this Proverbs that are written, he talks about these brawling women. In one place he says it's
better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than to live in a broad or wide house with a brawling woman. And so we can see an angry woman, a contentious woman, all throughout the book of Proverbs. And then we get to the very last chapter, and he says, who can find a virtuous woman? Because her price is far above all rubies. That price outweighs any, precious jewel of any sorts, the price of a woman. And so he says, this is a priority. Young men, listen, when you're looking for a wife, when you're looking for someone to spend the rest of your life with, look for a virtuous woman. Now, how do we define a virtuous woman? Or the word is also in some places interpreted an excellent woman. Amen. Kind of goes along with what you were saying this morning, Tim, about the good, the better, and the best. Some things are good, but then there's some that are just the best. And so this word actually holds its meaning of the best. A virtuous, excellent woman, who can find it? It's worth the search, isn't it? Now, I'm going to say this morning, and it's not just because she's in the building. But as I was reading through these scriptures and these verses and breaking them down a little bit this morning, I just couldn't help but thank God. Thank you for my wife. I tell you, when I was reading these verses, and sometimes she'll just... I'm the one that when I come home from work, I'm done. I just like to, especially in the evenings, evening time after supper, after we've eaten supper and we're sitting around, I like to do just that, is sit around. But for some reason, I guess I really couldn't understand it before, but Shell's just got to always be doing something. She's got to be working. She's got to be, if we're sitting watching a little TV or something, maybe our favorite show, and we're sitting around doing that, well, we got clothes to fold. So she'll go and get the clothes. And even once in a while, I've been known to pick up one or two myself and fold them as well. Can you say amen, Shell? Amen. I did, really. But here we're talking about it. So as I was reading these verses this morning, I thought, Lord, thank you. Now here in Proverbs 31, I can't prove this to you this morning because I don't know the Hebrew alphabet, but from verse 10 and on down to 31, they tell me, in some of the references I was reading about this particular chapter, says that this is taken what they call a acrostic. Is that right? Is that the right way to say it? Acrostic, which basically means this, that it's the first letter of a poem or whatever it is. They will take the first letter of a particular, even a particular word, and they will make a point for each thing, and sort of trying to help you memorize what's being taught. So what this writer of Proverbs was saying, the mother that was giving this lesson to her son, this is so important that here is a method that we have put in place for you to memorize these qualities of a virtuous woman. Now, in this particular instance, they're saying, or they're telling me, like I said, I can't prove this, maybe check me out on it later, it's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet for these next 22 verses, that if you would read it in the Hebrew from which it was written, that each first letter of this these points would be in order of the alphabet. Now, anybody ever use that method to remember anything? I have. I used to try it in school, and sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. There's certain things I do now, and I go back through my mind. Okay, we got this thing, and when I went through school, and how you find the length of lines and angles, and it was called Sakatoa, and you could remember sine, hypotenuse, and all that stuff. And so we had to use that. Well, that's the method that's being used here in Proverbs 31 for each particular thing that's brought out. It's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, so we can get this character of a true woman. And it first starts here. It says the heart of her husband. So we immediately, when we're talking about a woman, we talk first about that role of being a wife. It says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So immediately we find one thing in dealing with the relationship between a husband and a wife, and I've learned this in my own life, it's so important that you have trust. I got one, two maybe. You've got to have trust. There must be trust. Now, in order to trust someone, it's got to be something that hasn't been destroyed. You know, that's the thing about trust is once it's gone, hard to get it back. Once someone has violated a trust, it's very difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible because I know that there is all things are possible with God. And there are things that happen in an unbelieving family before they come to know the Lord that after God saves them and brings them unto Him, He's able to restore that which the canker worm and the palmer worm and all has eaten up. I mean, he's glad to know that God deals with restoration. Amen. That God is able to restore those things that are lost. And I am so thankful for that this morning. But here he says a woman, her husband, his heart, he safely trusts in her. He has no need of spoil. He doesn't have to go out and find or even steal to provide, but he can put things in her hand. Now, as I said, as I was reading this, and I know, you know, the families and husbands and wives all over do things differently. I know there's some that have this way of operating. There's some that have that way of operating. But strange enough, as I was going through this, I said, well, this is how we operate. How'd that happen? Did Shell just read Proverbs 31 every morning? But I think it probably came just as Peggy was talking earlier by example. It came about watching people who love the Lord, who loved one another, who demonstrated how you ought to love. And so, you know, when it talks about this role here of women, he says that the husband just simply trusts. You know, he can leave her the credit card and go away and come back and she hadn't maxed it out. You know, she controls the bank account. Look over in 1 Timothy. Well, I got quiet on that bank account thing. Let me get off of that. 1 Timothy. This is one of those, what they call the pastoral epistles. And I love going there just because they are so... what's the word? Practical, I guess, and just things that we can practice or bring into our own life. I love stuff like that because it helps us just to look and say, Lord, this is the way. Okay, this is how it ought to be. But look what he says over in 1 Timothy. This is Paul instructing young Timothy, and he says it this way. Paul says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, listen to what he says. This is what I would. I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Guide the house. I guess I'd never really looked at that phrase before, guide the house. What does it mean to guide the house? Strangely enough, it basically talks about keeping the affairs of the house to the point where the word is also used in other places when it talks about, especially in the parables, it talked about that of a householder or someone that ran the affairs of a house. Well, here where Paul is giving instruction to the young women, he says, I would that you marry, bear children, guide the house. Now, this is a high calling, isn't it? I mean, a very high calling when you think about guiding the home, when you're thinking about taking care of the affairs. Now, Titus, Paul, I guess, again, this time to Titus, says it this way over in Titus chapter number 2. He says, talking about the younger women, says that verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God, be not blasphemed. Now, I know these phrases I'm using, they sound so archaic, right? I mean, that's just, you know, when you think about women and their roles, oh my word, you're talking about householders, you're talking about bearing children. Do you ever think there'd be a day when the actual work of a woman to bear children would be a reproach? Isn't it terrible to think about that some people even look down their nose? People in higher positions will make comments about a woman that would choose to stay home and raise children. But see, what we're going to see over in Proverbs 31 woman, the Proverbs 31 woman is a very industrious woman. She's working. Amen? She's making things. She's working with her hands. She's, you know, even to the point where she would take and the wheel and make thread, and from the thread she would make garments, and from the garments she would provide for her family. And as she provided for her family, she would also take some and sell to the merchants. And that's being businesslike, isn't it? That's working. Now, so when we talk about a career woman or a working woman, we're not talking about, well, you don't need to be working. We're saying this. It's not at the expense of your family, but it's at the advantage of your family. And so here we're finding this laborious woman that's putting forth all this effort and striving. And the role of a woman, you say, well, we're not trying to bring it down. I was thinking about it this morning, about just the very role of a woman, of a bride. How does the book of the Revelation, what does it compare the New Jerusalem to? I was thinking about this. A what? A bride. He said, come, let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I got to thinking about that, what kind of analogy that is with respect to the church of the living God. It chose to compare it to that of a bride, of a wife. And I thought about this because so often what we learn about kindness, about caring, about reaching out to the needs of others comes from who? Our moms, our mothers. And so when the Spirit of God chose to describe the New Testament, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, it chose to define it or describe it as that of a woman or as a wife. Don't get upset with me, but it does. Let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I keep coming back to it over and over again, and even in my own study, is this. That God has called the church to demonstrate a kindness that far outweighs anything that we can conjure up on our own. And so when we go back over to Proverbs 31, just listen to some of these things as I read down through here. It says, she will do good. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maid. So she rises while it's still night and provides for her household and gives a portion to her maidens, it says. Now, I seen one reference here, because when I read that initially, I'm like, okay, she's providing for her household, and then she's also taking from that meat and providing to her maidens. And I heard someone give the example, and you can check this out later on your own if you want to. But it talks about that portion being not so much just giving food, but a portion here and being an assignment. So it's almost like instead of saying she rises up and gives food for her family and food for her maidens, says she gives food for her family and assignments to the maidens or to the young women. Now, my girls can say amen to this, because when I get up and go to work in the morning and I get my lunch out of the refrigerator that just appeared there, I'm not sure how it got there, and it was all made up and ready to go, and my lunchbox is sitting there on the counter and it's got food in it, and I don't know how it happens. Same way that, you know, there's socks and underwear get in the drawers. It just happens. But anyway, I'll go there and I'll get my sandwich out of the refrigerator and I'll go over there and I'll put it in a box and I look over to the left side and I see names. And beside those names, I see, do this, do that, do the other. I see assignments. You know what? That's a virtuous woman giving a portion to her young women. She's giving them assignments. She's saying, do this, do that. Why? Because she's teaching them. Why? Because she just doesn't want to do it. I mean, she could do it. Matter of fact, sometimes she'll go behind them and do it again. But, it's not that she can't do it. It's just that she's teaching them something. She's teaching them the value of work, of being industrious, of value. And how many knows our young women need to learn that? Now, I'm going to preach it to men. Just, you know, give me a few weeks. But right now, we're talking about this portion. It says she gives out the portion to her maidens. And once in a while, my name's on that list, too. I'll just go ahead and admit that. But not often, but sometime.
And I take it oh so well. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, or the round part of that which would make yarn. It says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she stretched out her hands. She goes outside of her house. Man, you know, when we talk about women now, you say, well, I don't have any children. Well, you know what? You can stretch out. The word stretch it out means to go outside the doors. It means to reach beyond your normal area here. And so here when Solomon is writing about this virtuous woman, he says, she stretcheth out. She goes outside. She goes to the poor. She goes to the needy. Man, she goes outside of herself. I've read this before, but I love, I think I've actually got it highlighted, so I ought to be able to find it quickly over in the book of Job. Some of you may know the verse I'm going to. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Where he talks about where there was there's a need. Or which one is that, Peggy? Here it is. Job 29. Job's talking about his own walk. Job 29:16. He says, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Amen. Wouldn't that be a way to live your life? Now, I'm all for, when opportunity comes, to reach out and minister, to do good. But we used to have a old-time evangelist to come around, Brother Danner. I'll never forget, when he was preaching, he'd be like, you know, when God calls me to do something, I go do it. He goes, but one thing I learned about in the military, you don't volunteer for anything. He said, so God says, do this, I'll go do it, then I come over here and sit down. And I wait. Now, I'm not trying to bring down Brother Danner in any way. He was a great man. And one thing I remember about Brother Danner, of course, I didn't know him until he was late in years, I guess. Little old frail-looking man, just kind of stooped over. A little bit like his quiet. I mean, couldn't hardly hear him talk. Remember, used to call Brother Gary Stoots Honey. Stoots Honey, and just real quiet guy. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, when he got this microphone in his hand, oh my word, you better get back, because he was going to town, and he'd get to preaching and carrying on. And I tell you, that's one thing, what I remember about him. But here Job says, if I didn't know the need, I went and searched it out. Went to find somebody. Amen. Lord, help me there. God, you know, there's enough needs that I know about. I've got to go search them out too. But that's what Job's saying, because I was a father to the poor. And that's why I say this morning that when we reach out to those who can't repay us, we are doing the work of God. When we reach out to those that can't, as Jesus put it this way, you know, the world will do good to those that can repay them. Amen. But he said, I say unto you, there's a higher calling, isn't it? He says, she wrote down, she divvied out the portions to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold of the staff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, there reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing,
and she shall rejoice in time to come. I'm going to read that verse again. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The virtuous woman, the excellent woman, who can find it. When strength and honor are your clothing, I think of what Paul spoke about. Well, maybe I guess it was actually Peter that said this. He said, let it not be the outward. And he said this, don't get upset with me, that which decayeth. You know what? This outward decays, but there's an inward beauty that endures. And so when you've put your emphasis on the outward, I don't care how hard you try, it's going to decay. But when you think about that of the heart, Peter said it this way, let it be the inward man. What's on the inside? That's true beauty. That which is on the inside. Work on that. Now, I'm not saying do what you can. But this here, you just can't stop it. I don't care how many lifts, tucks, whatever. You can't stop it. But there's an inward beauty that I think that's what the Proverbs 30 woman is talking about here, because it says she rejoices in time to come. The future. Later on in this chapter, he says it this way, verse 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. A woman that feareth the Lord. Amen. A woman that fears the Lord. The highest calling that we have. How do we, I guess, when we set direction in our life, when we set direction for our families, when we talk about that, it's almost like this, that the writer's saying that those things that are done in private, it's going to be seen openly. Amen. Things that you're going to be honored. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Amen. They that fear the Lord. The Bible teaches it this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It all starts there, doesn't it? Amen. It all starts there. Man, woman, whatever your role is, whatever your purpose, whatever calling God has in your life, and we do have one, it all starts right there. The fear of the Lord. Amen. We live our life every day in the fear of the Lord. Not that we're afraid and terror, but we live it in understanding that God is a righteous God. And it is our desire, whatever our role is, it is our desire to be an example. Just in closing, look what 26 there says. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. It's interesting, that same word there used, law, is the word Torah, which is the same word used in reference to the Old Testament scripture. The Torah of kindness, or the law of kindness. The law of kindness. Lord, help us to be kind. Where there's a need, we're willing to go. If we know about it, God uses us to bring about it. Use us to be a light to this world. Amen. Aren't you glad to be His child today? Amen. As we read over where Paul said, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Every time I read that, I can't help but think, God, don't ever let my life blaspheme the word of God. What does it mean to do that? It means to make of none effect. When someone hears the gospel, we want our lives to adorn, the scripture says. The gospel of Jesus, our lives can adorn it. How does it do that? It makes it becoming. It makes it beautiful. And God can work in our lives in such a way, men and women alike, that we adorn the gospel. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the pattern that you've set forth for us, God, that of a woman. Lord, we've just touched the surface this morning. There's so many scriptures, there's so much direction that's given to us. And it's our desire, Lord, to not be, Lord, shaped by this world's ideas and their philosophies that come and go and come to naught, Lord. But, Lord, we want to be shaped, Lord, by the renewing of our mind. God, let your word renew us, Lord, to make us again. Father, that our thinking would be as you would have it to be. We're so bombarded with the other as we go on our jobs or wherever we go, God. But, Lord, we have taken this time to look into your word and have seen this pattern set forth for us. And, God, let us be not a forgetful hearer, but, Lord, a doer of your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If anyone needs prayer today, please come up for prayer. I don't want to dismiss without opportunity for prayer. Amen. Continue to pray one for another.